2018 Q's CEO Executive Team Network Gathering in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. Look who I ran across. ThinkStack's very own Chris Sachs. Did I get it right, Chris?
You got it right.
All right.
Got it.
Good deal. Good deal. Hey, before we get into our topic at hand, because you're on a cybersecurity privacy panel.
Correct.
Very private. Nobody can go in. It's just going to be you guys.
I hope
so private.
I hope not.
No, the whole conference will be there. But how's the conference going for you? I've seen you kind of walking around.
Really well. Really well. So this is... We've known and worked with Q's for about 6 years, but this is our first time as formal partners.
Oh, right. Okay.
So
okay.
We just signed a new partnership with Q's. This is the first inaugural event of that partnership, and it's been really good. I love the smaller flavor of it, about 150 people, so we've gotten a chance to interact.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is the C-suite, so almost everybody here is a CEO, so we're having really good conversations.
Yeah, it's a great group. It's like you said, it's very intimate, but they're all really engaged,
yes.
And they're here for a specific purpose.
Absolutely.
And you guys are going to be here to deliver, all right?
We're going to try to deliver. The content yesterday was great, so hopefully we can keep it up.
Yeah, second to none, for sure. Hey, let's talk about your panel, Cybersecurity and Privacy Panel. So give folks a quick summary on what you guys are going to be talking about there.
Sure. So we have a great suite of speakers. So we have Bianca Lopez, who's she started a tech firm in privacy and has done really great things, an entrepreneur. And then we have some folks from Q2 and from Experian, and then us. So I think we have a really nice cross section of perspectives from various different sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, really, what we all are talking about holistically about security is that it's about the human experience and it's about the journey.
Right.
And that security is more than the tools that we buy, but it's about the experience and providing the context so that we can secure the experience while not hurting and harming the experience.
Right.
Because we can secure things that we're blue in the face. If the credit union is no longer in business because we've deteriorated the service so badly, then we have a different problem. So we have to find that balance between
those things.
That's what I
was thinking. It's kind of a double-edged sword. Everyone wants this experience of convenience, but then you have the other side of the sword that's security.
Exactly.
So it's like, oh my gosh, you got to find that that magic medium in there. So very cool. So there's a shift from going to the human experience. We're all talking about that now. Before we were talking about the digital experience, but how are we? It sounds like we're kind of shifting the pendulum back to the human experience, but keeping that digital thing in mind.
Right. Absolutely.
Where we're going?
Yeah. I mean, I think it has to start. I think the design starts with the human experience, but the technology, the digital experience, has to deliver that desired human experience. But thankfully, almost anything is possible from a technology perspective. And a lot of us, particularly in credit unions, walk in with biases about what a particular provider or tool can or cannot do. If you can throw those biases out and put the desired experience up on the wall and design that, and then turn around to your technology partners and team and say, deliver this and deliver it securely, no barriers,
right.
It's possible.
Right, right.
And we have to start having those conversations instead of constantly putting in these barriers and biases about what is possible, what is impossible before we ever do the design. And I think that's kind of where we are as an industry. We're starting to break free of that, but we're letting our legacy systems hold us back. And I think by redesigning that experience and then allocating the resources necessary to build it, it can be done.
Yep. Let's talk about something. I think it might be actually a nice segue to what you were just talking about, but you talked about the Frankenstein of security.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about this concept, because I think it kind of segues what we were just talking about.
100%. So I think it speaks beyond just security. It's really the technology systems of credit unions are Frankenstein together. We have legacy core systems that are sitting there. We buy products, and then we try to make those products all work with each other.
On top of each other.
And then the poor IT guy has to sit. It's like, hey, we just bought another system. Can you make sure that works? And by the way, make sure it's secure, because if we don't, you're fired. So they have to put together a whole series of duct tape, basically, to have this system talk to this system and make sure it's still secure and using the same policies. And it becomes really overwhelming to manage. It becomes very difficult from the complexity perspective.
The
experience is deteriorated as a result of all these systems. So it's and all of that degrades your security.
Right.
Because when you have so much complexity, it's nearly impossible to create a consistent security platform across that.
So what do credit unions do to avoid Frankensteining.
you know, that stuff. You have to take a step back and invest in your infrastructure. And that's something that it's boring. It's not as fun to talk about when it comes to...
But it's the foundation.
But it's the foundation of everything. And, and, you know, we keep driving 80 miles an hour and trying to change the tire. We have to pull the car over for a minute and say, you know what, we're going to take the next 6 months, year, 2 years, depending on how bad things are, to really reinforce and rebuild and re-architect our infrastructure. And there's a lot of different methods to do that.
Yeah.
But we're going to do that first, and we realize that that's going to prepare us for this uncertain future, because it will allow us to more easily plug and play that whatever the new system is that we need, we can plug and play that in a secure and you know, kind of data available way. But if you are unable and unwilling to pull the car over for a year to do that, then you're probably never going to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of credit unions are right now. It's like, gosh, do we pull the car over and really kind of start from ground zero and work our way up type of thing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's where they are right now. So, okay, let's see. Here's tips on journey mapping. Tips on journey mapping. You have a couple of tips on journey mapping?
Absolutely. Journey mapping is so simple. Everybody, I think everyone... They'll hire us to come in and do journey mapping. I'm like, it's just to facilitate. Find somebody to facilitate. You guys don't need to pay us to do this. We're happy to do it. We love doing it. But it's something we try to teach you. But one of the things that's important that we do is a lot of people journey map only from the member experience. We put everything in the journey map, meaning start with the experience because, again, it starts there. But then underneath of that, what internal employees are involved in that experience?
Okay.
And then underneath of that, what systems are involved?
Okay.
What vendor partners are involved? And then start asking people to come up. We like to leave the journey maps up and invite people in throughout the day and even multiple days and just kind of come and look at them and you know, let it go home, let it marinate, come back, think about things. But when you can start to put the different technology in there and the different tools and people that are involved, you start to identify these risks and these opportunities that you didn't necessarily know existed.
Exactly.
And it frames the context of what it is that you're doing. We had a credit union that where we journey mapped their ATM process. And the CEO was able to articulate how many members used the ATM network and how frequently and all of that. So she had this context in her mind of what that was. And then underneath of that, the CIO was identifying the different tools, and they identified that they had single points of failure, bandwidth, security issues that were related to that. Yet for 5 years, he had asked for money to update that, but she never put that in the context of it relating to the ATM, right? She saw routers and more bandwidth on the thing and never understood it. But as soon as she put it in the context of, you know, 50,000 members a month are using the ATM, I'm making this number up, but whatever it is, she immediately said, well, of course, whatever the $100,000, you know, project was absolutely worth it based on the context of that experience. And so building out all of the things that touch it, I think, is the piece that people miss. So that would
be our
biggest
picture.
Yeah.
It's a complete picture. All layers right there in front of you. So very cool. And it reveals things that you like.
Totally.
That scenario just...
And invite everybody. I think that's the other thing. Sometimes people do it just at the executive team. Bring everybody in and ask them what their experience are.
Indeed. All right. Last question for you. Any final words of wisdom on this topic? Because, I mean, again, we could go in a million different directions here, but any last thoughts?
That's a good question.
To wrap up.
Be intentional about it. You know, I think that's the biggest thing is don't do this one time. Don't hire a consultant to come out and help you one time. Become intentional about it. Start using experience as a way to provide context and communicate to people. And I think that the more you practice, and it's okay. You've never done it before. That's okay. Practice a couple times and you'll get used to it. It's been really fun with some of our clients that have embraced it. We go back now and see the journey maps all over the wall. It's how they communicate. And they do it for things that are totally non-technical. But it's become their common language. And that's the neat part is they've been able to tie all their strategy together through just a series of journeys.
There you go. So, very good stuff.
Pretty cool.
Journey mapping, everybody, with Chris Sachs.
Thank you.
Chris, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks
well done, sir.